In Acts chapter 10, we continue our study in this great book. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. We'll be looking at different verses in this chapter, but we'll take 34 as our text for this evening. Then Peter opened his mouth. He was in the house of Cornelius. And there in the house of Cornelius he opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." When the apostles were told, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," that meant that they were to take the gospel to both Jew and Gentile alike. And up until Acts 10, the gospel had only been given to the Jews. If you look there, chapter 11 of Acts, and we read the verse 19. Acts 11, verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only." So the gospel was preached to the Jews only. But now the Lord, in the fulfillment of His great commission, the Lord is now opening the door for the gospel to be preached to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were to receive the gospel also. And that door which the Lord opened, it was opened in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. We read in verse 2 of Acts 10, "Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God last week, that while Cornelius was a God-fearing man, he was not a saved man. He was not a converted man. He wasn't converted until Peter ministered on to him." We'll see that later on this evening. And Peter was to be given the honor, for it indeed it must have been an honor. Honor of pioneering and bringing the gospel to a group of Gentiles gathered there in the house of Cornelius. And so the Lord revealed to this God-fearing man, Cornelius, that he was to send to Joppa and have Peter come unto him and preach the gospel to him and to his friends. You look there at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 10. "And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." The Lord, of course, knew that there would be a reluctance, however weak or strong it may be. Nevertheless, there would have been a reluctance on the part of Peter to go and minister to Gentiles. As we have just seen, the gospel had not been preached to Gentiles before in this capacity, in this way. You remember how Jonah was reluctant to go and bring the gospel and preach the gospel to the Ninevites. In fact, he ran away from that duty that God had set before him. And so the Lord had to deal with Peter's heart and make him willing to go. Sometimes the Lord calls us to perform certain duties for Him. The Lord perhaps speaks to someone about going to the mission field. And they begin to think about leaving home and leaving family and friends and leaving the comforts of home and their familiar country and going out to some far off land. There may be at the beginning a reluctance to go. But then if the Lord has called that person, the Lord will make that person willing to go. And they will go with great willingness. They'll go with a heart and a half. Because the Lord will make them willing. And the Lord was going to make Peter willing to go and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what this is all about. And the part, in fact, all of chapter 10 of Acts, and a good part of chapter 11 also. And so the Lord had to make Peter willing. And we see first of all, then in this chapter 10, the preparing of Peter. Before the men whom Cornelius sent met with Peter, the Lord had to prepare his servant. And as I said, to make him willing to go. And Cornelius would be expecting the arrival of Peter. It was while they drew nigh unto the city, that is the men whom Cornelius had sent, while they drew nigh unto the city of Caesarea, that we are told it was then that the Lord spoke to Peter. The Lord's always on time. The men didn't arrive and start speaking to Peter before the Lord had already prepared Peter's heart. And yet the men, the messengers whom Cornelius had sent, they had almost arrived at the city. Peter didn't know they were coming until Peter's time of prayer. For Peter it was the hour of prayer. And Peter went up, we're told, into the housetop, unto the roof. And there Peter sought the face of the Lord. You look there in verses 9 and 10. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, that is, Cornelius's messengers, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. The Lord gave him a vision of these men coming and what he had to do. The Lord spoke to him and through that vision. It was the time of prayer for Peter. It was the hour of prayer. And he was not going to neglect that hour of prayer. Isn't it just as well? Isn't it just as well he didn't neglect that hour of prayer? Because it was through that hour of prayer that the Lord spoke to Peter about going and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And you think of it. That was a major step forward with the gospel. That wasn't some little thing, little event. This was a major step forward. This was opening the gospel to the world of Gentiles. And it all rested on Peter going up to the housetop at the hour of prayer and seeking the face of God. You see, believer, when we go to the hour of prayer and gather for the hour of prayer to seek the face of the Lord not, we don't only speak to the Lord. But in prayer, the Lord also speaks to us. The Lord can speak to us as we pray. The Lord can speak to us as others pray. This was an important prayer meeting. Every prayer meeting is important. This one was important, certainly, for Peter. The Lord was going to give him direction. The Lord was going to tell him what to do. The Lord was going to prepare him for bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And so we ought not to neglect the place of prayer. Because not only do we unburden our hearts to the Lord and tell the Lord what's on our hearts, the Lord speaks to us at the prayer meeting. Over in Daniel, in chapter 9, and verse 21, there we read in Daniel 9:21, "Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." And although it was Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, who delivered the message came from the Lord. The Lord had a word for Daniel. The Lord spoke to Daniel, what does it say? "While I was yet speaking in prayer." That's when the word came. And it was at this prayer meeting on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner's home that the Lord spoke to Peter. Obviously, it is in the place of prayer that we seek God to discover his mind and his will for our lives. We cannot know the mind of God or the will of God for our lives if we do not pray. For it is through prayer that we discern the mind of God. It's like one of our brethren just lately who ministered in the work in Atlanta was asked to go be an associate or assistant minister in one of our other churches. And I was speaking with him and he told me, he says, "I was excited about going. But," he said, "I knew I had to pray about it first. I needed to get the mind of God upon the matter first of all." So it is with us as Christians. We cannot take major decisions in our lives. We just cannot step out and say, "I'm going here, going there, or going yonder," without knowing the mind of the Lord. And it was through this time of prayer that Peter had that the mind of the Lord was revealed to him. And of course, what better way to prepare ourselves for the work of God? What better way to prepare ourselves for the work of God than spending time with the Lord in prayer? The Lord will not only speak to us, of course, when we sit under his word, but he'll also speak to us when we sit at his feet in prayer. As well as the time of prayer for Peter, we notice the temptation in prayer. Ah, you think whenever you're before the throne of grace that you'll not be tempted? Well, look again at the verse. In verse 10, well, he's on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry. Peter became very hungry, and it says, and would have eaten. It was just as Peter was going to pray that began to be very hungry. Now, it would have been tempting for Peter to have said, "Well, I'll pray later. I'm hungry." Indeed, it says he was very hungry. He was very hungry, and he could have said, "Well, I'm very hungry, I'll not really be able to concentrate on prayer. I'll go downstairs and get something to eat. I'll go down there and satisfy my hunger pangs. And then I'll pray sometime later. If it had prayed later, it would have been too late. Cornelius' men will have already been there. But then the hunger of his soul to Peter was more important. And that could not be neglected. And so we see here that Peter got the victory over his physical hunger. And his spiritual hunger prevailed. How do I know? How do I know that Peter prevailed? He was fed later. But not at that time, because it says, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. Doesn't say and he did eat. It says he would have eaten. He would have eaten at that time. And the verse goes on to say, and whilst they made ready. So the fact is that Peter went up to the housetop and as he was about to pray became very hungry and he would have eaten at that time. But instead he prayed. And the friends in the house made something to eat after he had prayed. He would have eaten, but he didn't. You know, this just reminds us of something. It reminds us that the devil knows every trick in the book. Isn't it interesting that Peter was very hungry just as he was about to pray? Did he not feel hungry before he went up to the rooftop? Just before he started to pray, that was when he became very hungry. The devil knows every trick in the book. Because the devil will come with his temptations and do anything to keep us from prayer. For the devil will place every obstacle, even imaginary obstacles, in our path to keep us from seeking the face of God. There are tasks to be done. Oh, I can't pray now. There's things to be done. There's tiredness. Oh, I'm tired. I couldn't pray tonight. Well, I've so much. I don't have time. And the devil gives us all of these excuses. And we are tempted not to pray. You know what I'm talking about. They're as familiar to you as they are to me. It's something that's familiar to every Christian. Every child of God has faced these temptations. As was said before, C.H. Spurgeon said the greatest battle he had was to climb the 3 or 4 steps up into his study and shut the door and seek the face of God. It was a battle. He would have done anything else. But the Lord gave him the victory. So like Peter, we need to know the victory over the devil. And we need to get past those obstacles that he places in our way. We need to be like Peter and not yield to temptation. For yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue, look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Praise the Lord. He'll carry you through. Don't let the devil get the victory. Give the Lord the victory. Remember the Savior's exhortation? Men ought always to pray not to faint. Not to give up. And wasn't it just as well that Peter didn't faint or yield to temptation and yield to the hunger pangs of his physical frame? For the Lord revealed his will to Peter at that prayer meeting and showed him what he must do and prepared the way for Peter to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. It was an important prayer meeting, that. When we gather here for prayer, it's an important time. We say so many times, the midweek prayer meeting is the most important meeting of the whole week in any church. We need to pray. And as a result of his prayer time, Peter fell into a trance, we're told, or he received a vision. In verse 10, it's called a trance. In verse 17, it's called a vision. It's how the Lord spoke to and revealed his will to his people in Bible times. And this vision is described for us in verses 11 to 16. In this vision or this dream, Peter saw a vessel descending onto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth. And in that sheet there were four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And the Lord said to him, Peter, rise and eat. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to eat. There are things with regard to these beasts that I cannot eat. And we're told in verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thy common. This was done thrice. The Lord spoke to him three times. That was the vision. And out of that vision came the teaching. That's what we look at now. This teaching from this time of prayer. Here the Lord was preparing Peter for the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles. And we know that there was no love lost between Jew and Gentile. For centuries, the Jews, on the basis of Old Testament law, had declared the Gentiles to be unclean. In fact, some Jews even went a bit further. And when speaking about the Gentiles, referred to them as dogs. And the dog is an unclean animal. And referred to them as dogs. And so through this vision, the Lord taught Peter that with God there is no respect of persons. And what he was saying to Peter, there are different animals in this sheet that you have seen. And some you may regard as good to eat, and some you may regard as not good to eat. But whatever the Lord has blessed, whatever the Lord has given to you, that's what you are to eat. And the teaching from that was, Peter, you may regard the Gentiles as being unclean. But if I send you to the Gentiles with the gospel, you are to go. Because I have my people amongst the Gentiles, and you need to go and preach the gospel to them. If I give you meat to eat, if I bless that meat, then you eat it. And if I have given you a task to do, and go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles, you do it. No matter what you think of them. You may have been used to looking upon them as unclean before, but they need to hear the gospel. And the Apostle Paul believed that. For we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. So the body of Christ is made up of sea of Jews and sea of Gentiles. That's what Paul's teaching. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're one in Christ, whether we be Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter, Peter. Doesn't matter. The Gentiles need to hear the gospel. Need to be told about Christ. And so it is with us believers in our day. Roman Catholics need to hear the gospel. Muslims need to hear the gospel. Those in false cults and religions need to hear the gospel. The Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons need to be given the gospel. The religious need to hear the gospel. The irreligious need to hear the gospel. Our friends and our foes need to hear the gospel. The gospel is for all. Praise the Lord, it's for all. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then all need to hear the gospel. All need to be told about Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. So Peter had been prepared by the Lord to take the gospel to the Gentiles. As well as preparing of Peter, we see then in the second place, the place for Peter. He was first to preach the gospel in the home of Cornelius. You know, as I look upon that and was studying it, I took that as a great encouragement. When Peter was sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, he wasn't sent to preach the gospel in a great auditorium. He wasn't sent to preach to thousands of people. He was sent to preach the gospel to a handful of people in the humble home of Cornelius. Just a few people. We are reminded of the words we find in Job 8 and verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. And believer, you think of the small beginnings with Peter. Just a family and a few friends in a man's house. That's where it started. And you think of the many Gentiles who had been saved since that day Peter went to the house of Cornelius and preached the gospel. The beginnings were small, but oh how the latter end greatly increased. Here we have Peter and his place. Regarding his place, look at his mission. His mission. Now that the Lord had prepared Peter for bringing the gospel to the Gentile Cornelius, Peter embarks upon his mission. Verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. That's the three men from Cornelius. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. There's a lot we can learn from those two verses there. First of all, regarding his mission, we see his consideration. Now what it says. While Peter thought on the vision, he gave consideration to it. The vision Peter had received brought the word of the Lord to him. It was the Lord's word to Peter, and it was given to him through the vision. And we're told then that while he thought on the vision, while he thought on the word, Peter gave it some consideration. It is good. And believer, it is essential that when we are given a word from the Lord, we ought to consider it. We ought to give it some thought. Now, think of it. Peter wasn't used giving the gospel to Gentiles, only to Jews. And this word that came to Peter that night in prayer through that vision, Peter could easily have dismissed it. He could easily have dismissed it and said, I'm not going there. I'm not going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to that unclean nation. He could have dismissed it offhand. But he didn't. It says that while Peter thought on the vision. And dear believer, whenever we receive a word from the Lord, we ought to think upon it. We ought to think upon that word, not dismiss it out of our minds, not just to cast it to one side as though it doesn't concern us. Every word, every jot, and every tittle in God's word from Genesis to Revelation concerns us. God's word, therefore, it must concern us. Whenever we are given the word, when the word is ministered to us, we cannot afford to dismiss it, for it's a word from the Lord for us. Notice his consideration. Notice his confirmation. It was confirmed to Peter by the Holy Spirit that he should do what he was told to do. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him. It was confirmed. The will of God was confirmed to him by the Holy Spirit. We dare not take one step without the Holy Spirit leading us in that direction. Peter could not afford to ignore the word nor the leading of the Spirit of God. Even as Christ was led by the Spirit, so we are to be led by the Spirit. Look forward in verse 1. And he, that is Christ, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It says that. He was led by the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. Paul tells us in Romans that if we're led by the Spirit, then we are the sons of God. It's confirmation we are the children of the Lord. Now, maybe Peter, a Jew, thought he was, as it were, going into the wilderness, going to minister the word to Gentiles, but the Holy Spirit had confirmed to him this was the will of God. And so Peter was ready to go and embark upon this mission. He was ready to go, none making him afraid. And then you have his confidence. The Holy Spirit said to him, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. My, whenever the Spirit of God leads you to do something, there's no need to doubt. There's no need saying, well, I wonder how this is all going to turn out. I wonder, will I have success? I wonder what the Spirit of God has led me to do. I wonder, will it be a failure? We can go forth, led by the Spirit of God, to do the work of God, and we can go forth doubting nothing, because we're going out in the will of the Lord. My, it's a great comfort. When you go forth to do the work of God, knowing the Lord has sent you, knowing that you're in the will of God, knowing the Spirit of God is leading you, it is a wonderful comfort. It was a comfort to Paul. In Acts 20, he's been ministering to the church at Ephesus. He's been there for over 3 years. And he's about to leave them. And we read in Acts 20 and verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. There's Paul. He didn't know what was in store for him going up to Jerusalem. But that didn't bother him, because he was going having been led by the Spirit. What a comfort that was. And then you have not only his mission, but the message. The apostle then met the men whom Cornelius had sent to him, verses 21 to 23. And notice how the prejudice was already dissolving. Prejudice against Gentiles was already on the wane. Do you see that? For we read in verse 23, now these are Gentile men who have come to Peter. He's in the house of Simon the tanner. And we read in verse 23, then called he them in. Peter called in the Gentiles. Then called he them in and lodged them. That would have been unheard of. Gentiles under the roof of a Jew. That would have been unheard of. What does that tell us? What does that tell us? It tells us that the word of the Lord had already had an effect upon Peter. The word that the Lord had spoken to Peter through that vision was already changing Peter. That's what we ought to pray. When we come to God's house and we go to hear the word, Lord, change my heart. Deal with my heart. Change my life through thy word. Point out to me my sin, my failures, my shortcomings. For I want to do thy will, and I want to live for thee. What was the message? It was very simple. They said, Cornelius the centurion, verse 22, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, listen, and to hear words of thee. That's what he wanted. That's what Cornelius wanted. He wanted Peter to come and preach the word to him. As we said last week, isn't that refreshing? Isn't it refreshing to read about men who want to hear the word? Who want to be told about Jesus Christ. He wanted to hear about Jesus Christ, the Savior, and how he could be saved. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. It's good when men want to hear Christ preached. Preach the word. Preach Christ unto me. That's all I want. That's all Cornelius wanted. And then you have the meeting. The meeting took place between Peter and those who were in the house. There's Peter, he arrives, and we are told that there were a number of people with Cornelius in the house. Look at verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Look at verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Look at verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, Cornelius says, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God? Isn't that truly a wonderful verse. Now, therefore, we're all here, present, before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. There's a message in that verse alone. You have their awareness. We must go through this quickly. Their awareness. Cornelius was aware that where the word was going to be preached, they were before God. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God. They weren't in a church. They weren't in a magnificent building. They were in a man's house. But they had met there in the Savior's name, and they'd met there to hear the word, and they were aware. They were before God. Their awareness. May God ever keep that awareness in our hearts. That when we come tonight, even now, right now, we're before God. We're in God's presence. We're right before Him. Their awareness, their attention. Look what Cornelius said. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear. We're here to give attention, Peter, to what you have to say, because we know you have a word from God. As the Lord said to all the churches, the seven churches in Asia, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We need to give ear. We need to give attention to the word. Look at their attitude. I like their attitude to the word. For Cornelius says, now are all here present before God to hear all things. All things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius didn't want to miss anything. Cornelius wanted Peter to give him all things. But the Lord had revealed to Peter. Cornelius had no hang-ups about any matter or subject. He wanted to hear all things. He was saying, Peter, give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And some people don't like the preacher dealing with certain matters and certain subjects. Certain things are out of bounds for some people. They don't want to hear the preacher talk about man's total depravity. Because they think there's some little good in every man. The Bible teaches man's total depravity. They don't like people, the preacher, talking about unconditional election. Oh, you daren't touch that. Some believers don't like the preacher dealing with tithing. Oh, don't touch that subject. I remember when we were in Newton Abbey, we were still meeting in the Orange Hall, and this man came to the service. He came a number of weeks. Oh, and this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Until one day I happened to mention tithing. He came to the door, he says, I'll not be back again. I don't believe in tithing. Poor soul. He was the poorer for it, for not tithing. But there was an example. There was a believer that wanted to deal with that subject. But Cornelius said, we're all here present before God to hear all things. And again, in Paul's ministry to the church at Ephesus, what did Paul say in Acts 20, in verse 26 and 27? 26 and 27. Wherefore I take you to record this day, remember he's saying farewell to the church. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Nobody will be able to accuse me in the day of judgment of not preaching the truth unto you. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. There were no subject he avoided. There was no subject he didn't touch. He declared unto them in the 3.5 years that he was there all the counsel of God. That's the mark of a faithful preacher. And Peter was a faithful preacher. And very quickly, you have finally the preaching of Peter. He was there and he came into the house of Cornelius. And first of all, you have his confession. For we read there in the verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I confess, God's no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In other words, Peter is saying, I perceive, I acknowledge, I confess. Whether a man is a Jew or a Gentile, if he believes in Jesus Christ, he's accepted with God. That's what Peter was saying. And then you have the Christ, the confession and the Christ. Peter was asked to come and preach to Cornelius. Couldn't have chosen a better subject. He preached Christ. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Christ was preached in the Old Testament. Do you see that? And preached on to the Jews. And preached peace by Jesus Christ. And he goes on to preach Christ. He preached his incarnation. He preached his life. He preached his crucifixion. He preached his resurrection. He preached his glory. Good subject. And what did that lead to? The conversions. For we read in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And then they were baptized and made an open confession of Christ. And you notice something else. In the end of verse 48, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They had just been converted. And they wanted to hear more of the word. That's a good sign. When someone's just been converted, they want to hear the word. They said, Peter, will you stay with us a few more days? Why would they want him to stay? To hear him preach. That's a good sign. When a man's saved, there's a hunger for the word. For to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. The gospel has now been preached to the Gentiles. Souls were saved, and that was only the beginning. And though the beginnings were small, my, how the latter end greatly increased. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O loving and gracious God, we bless thee for the word. The word of the living God, we thank thee, Lord, that we have learned tonight about a man and his friends and his household who had a love for the word. God-fearing man who sent for a preacher.